This is the Dr. Touch podcast. Episode 6, and the winner is... Today is December 9th, 2009, and these are the news. Apple's developer news are now available also as RSS feed. In a feeble attempt to appear more open and communicative, Apple had previously implemented a new section on their developer portal. Now the latest news blurb on it announces that these news are also available as RSS. Unfortunately, only the first part of each article. So to get the whole content, you still have to click through to the site. But at least now you know if there's some important announcement. Like, for example, that iTunes Connect will be closed from December 23rd until December 28th. This means that you will not be able to manage any aspect of your applications or even submit new ones. So if you are planning a Christmas promotion on your apps, make sure to drop your prices no later than the 22nd. Also bear in mind that even though it is a separate site on Apple's server, the announcement also specifically states that you will not get sales reports during this period. So I recommend that you use your favorite downloading tool as long as possible so that you also get the daily reports right up to the 22nd. If availability resumes on the 29th, you should not have any gap in daily reports. What could be the reason for such a long outage? I'm keeping my fingers crossed that Apple will finally give us developers an API to download our reports the official way, instead of having to scrape iTunes Connect as we're doing now. I've been lobbying other developers to put in a feature request into Radar, Apple's bug tracker, to request that Apple provide such an API. I had gotten a response from Apple that they would consider doing that if there's enough demand. So please put your Christmas wishes into Radar reports addressed to Santa Jobs. The location is http://bugreport.apple.com. Usually you would put gripes in there that you have with Apple software and APIs, but it's also the best and only place where you can request features, like, for example, a report download API. My original feature request, which I entered April 20th, 2009, bears the number 6807195. You should mention this number to basically vote for this feature request. I've just opened the site myself. Let me read you report number 6807195 so that you know what you'd be supporting. Many people are looking for ways to download the iTunes sales report, which are more convenient than going to the website. There are half a dozen apps, both in open source as well as commercial, that scrape the site to allow for automatic downloading. At the same time, Apple rejects apps that are doing this in a mobile way and cites 3.3.6 of the SDK agreement. Providing a secure web API could make all your developers very much happy because they could create their own tools or could choose between competing mobile downloading tools. Also, waiting for the previous day's reports to arrive is an ideal case for push notifications. In the very least, I urge Apple to create a mobile report downloading app themselves if they absolutely won't let users access the data they desperately want to have. By not taking the lead on report downloading, Apple causes hundreds of thousands of unnecessary accesses to the report site when people or their scripts are checking if the report is now available. Lots of unnecessary HTTPS/HTML traffic could be prevented if there was an XML-based secure API. End quote. Bear in mind that this is only a Christmas wish we tool developers have. In reality, the only thing that will probably happen during the outage is that Apple will run their annual financial reports for their bookkeepers. And they don't want people to go changing the inventory while they count the money. But you know what they say, hope will die last. Apple has finally clarified what they want the matter of dates in iTunes to work like. In an email to confused user/developer, they explain. The release date displayed in an application page is the date the latest version of that application went live on the App Store. This date will allow customers to be aware of the date this version, version was released. On category pages on the App Store, when you choose to sort by release date, applications are sorted according to the date the first version of the app went live on the App Store. Sorting by the original app release date creates a list where customers can easily find the most recent additions to the App Store. Both of these are automatically set in the iTunes system and cannot be edited in iTunes Connect. Get it? Clear as mud, I should say. The point is that they finally fixed the bug to be able to reset the release date every time you did an update. Too many developers were abusing this loophole to make their apps appear as fresh and new to gather additional attention and sales. Since we now lost release date manipulation as a marketing tool, here are a couple of strategies to make most of this situation. Make sure you leave the best possible impression for the very short time you are in front. Do frequent updates so that the app looks cared for. Have good keywords so that people searching for these will find your app. Sponsor an ad on the Dr. Touch podcast. Make new apps. Take what you learned from your previous apps and repackage this knowledge as new. Get people to blog and tweet about your app while it is visible. By the way, you can still set the availability date in iTunes Connect to a future date to prevent availability before this time, even though the app is already approved. But who in his right mind would do such a thing, especially if the review process is still taking too long as it is? Apple removes apps with fake reviews from the store. The developer Molinka has been accused of gaming the reviews for his 1011 apps to drive sales. He had organized a tad too many fake 5-star reviews for his apps. Responding to the outrage, Apple removed the developer and all his produce from the store. The same might happen for you if you try to push your own apps by such clandestine means. So please don't. Use your brain power to polish your apps instead of trying to think of a lubricant to shove them more easily down the customers' throats. Proving the fakeness of reviews is relatively easy. In general, reviews will cluster around a certain number of stars in the form of a bell curve, or at least be uniformly distributed. Now we are aware of a couple of developers who use sort of a review mafia to purchase hundreds of reviews in certain key markets. I know of one example where you can look through the various big markets and you will see in which of these the developer has clearly purchased a couple of hundred 5-star reviews. The same app would have like no stars in Austria, but 900 times 5 stars in Germany or 200 times 5 stars in France. One thing that puzzles me though, there are two riddles. How do I get hundreds of fake positive reviews in markets that don't have promo codes? And how much did the developer pay for these reviews? Do we think that this guy really has 800 friends who would happily buy such an app? Can a crook be that well connected and persuasive? Only time will tell. Even one major company got recently accused of gaming the reviews, Gameloft. There was a problem with their new app, Modern Combat Sandstorm, which seemingly prompted a lot of 1-star reviews. Shortly after the fix became available, suddenly lots of 5-star reviews appeared. Gameloft naturally denies being part of this practice, though the author of this article on the unofficial Apple weblog found it odd that all the positive reviews had been voted up by people clicking on "Was this review helpful? Yes." That's the other loophole in the process. You essentially get multiple votes with just one purchase. You can set stars, you can write a text, and you can find all positive reviews helpful and all negative reviews unhelpful. Finally, there is yet another problem. Fake reviews for competitors' apps. I know of a shady character who purchases his competitor's app, leaves a 1-star review with accusations and allegations of bugs, and then actually calls Apple to request his money back, which Apple seems to be rather happy to oblige. This morning, Epps Fire announced the winners of the 2009 Epps Fire Awards at the LEVEP conference, which were given to this year's greatest new yet unreleased apps. Winner in the category Games is Sketch Nation Shooter. Sketch Nation Shooter allows users to create their own games by drawing a player, enemies, and the level on a piece of paper and taking a picture of the drawing with the iPhone camera. Runner-up in the games category was Extreme Sheepdog Trials, where you steer your sheepdog by whistling the commands. Winner in the utility category is Here File File lets you access your Mac's files, yes, all of your files from all your Macs, from your iPhone wherever you are. Browse files and folders, attached storage, network drives, view your files, stream media, and email your files all from your iPhone. Don't worry about forgetting a file ever again. Access your Mac whenever you need to, whatever you are. Well, you can probably guess I read this. And by the way, this app was from a French developer, which might be the reason why Baby Bubbles was only the runner-up in the utility category. That's an app that helps you log your baby's every move. And finally, winner in the entertainment category is Cookmate. Ever had a fridge full of food and nothing to eat? Miscellaneous items that you are not sure how to bring together into a spontaneous and delicious meal? There's an app for that, and you have found it. And the maker of this app can be glad to have won $1,500 and a marketing campaign with a partner of AppsFire. Runner-up in the entertainment category is Izu Mobile. Seems to be a magazine reader app. Now that's it, folks, for today. I hope there was something interesting for you in it as well. I wish you best of luck, and may all your bugs let you sleep at night rather tight.